Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelor Wrap Up. I'm Amy, here as always with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing tonight?
Roll Tide.
Oh, yeah. Is there a beautiful monster inside of you that you're ready to let out?
Oh, my God. That sounds so gross. No. Just a regular old monster. You know, your run-of-the-mill monster.
Just a run-of-the-mill. Got no a tank of rage about this episode yet? Or no?
I don't think enough happened in this episode to, like, have a tank of rage built up.
No. Probably not. Probably an empty tank, maybe.
But yeah, I'd say empty tank.
Yeah. So let's start out with Bachelor Nation news. A few news stories. I don't know if they're especially newsworthy, but last week we talked about Caitlin Bristow dating perhaps Jason Tardik. Well, in the past week, they've really gone full force, especially Caitlin. Gushing
tell
about
me
him.
More, because I haven't really done a deep dive into any of this.
Okay.
Because again, I don't believe it.
Okay. Well, she really started gushing about him on her podcast. So I listened to that, and she did one podcast where she was talking to, like, her manager or something. And I almost felt like I shouldn't be listening to it. It felt like a girl talking to her friend about, like, oh, like, he likes the same things as me, and he's such a gentleman, and he's really serious and ready to settle down. It just, like, really getting in there about, like, that they're, like, and that she, I think, said that she was his girlfriend, or that's what she'd be upset if he said he was dating anyone else, or if he'd be upset about her. And so she really just opened up about it, and seems like they've been dating since, you know, they met up but had been talking since around Christmas. And then he was on her podcast co-hosting, kind of interviewing Danielle Maltzby, and that was the most recent one. And then they were kind of telling little stories about, like, signs from the universe. And I think she even said something about, like, I think I went on The Bachelor to meet Jason. So it's getting intense.
What?
Yeah.
No, like, yeah, no, I'm sorry. That's too much for me.
It's too much.
I don't get to judge how people grieve, like, the end of a relationship, but, like, that seems a bit of a, you know, a spit in the face to your fiance of 3 years saying, like, oh, I went on The Bachelor not for that life-changing relationship, but to meet Jason, who I started talking to 4 weeks ago. Like, I get it. Jason's cute.
Yeah.
He seems great. He seems fun, but I just feel like there's some merit in having your relationship private for at least the beginning of it. It's, you know, it's a sensitive thing. It might not end, like, or it might not last.
Might end, might not. Yeah.
It just doesn't, it's not the choice I would make as somebody who, like, Ethan and I were in the same college class together, and, like, the way the program was set up, like, you're with these people, like, all year in every single class, and there's only, like, 30 of you. Mm-hmm. And I'd say 80% of the class didn't know we were dating until, like, the very end of the year.
Right, because if it went south, it would be kind of awkward, right?
Yeah, I'm just not much for telling people, like, all of my personal details, and that seems, especially when you're super public, and not that, like we have some public-ishness, but we're not Caitlin, and, like, I know you like to keep a certain level of privacy about your personal life.
Sure.
It's just not what I would do personally, and it so it comes off as a little disingenuous.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what makes me a little uncomfortable. It's just like I'm sort of like, okay, I think it's drifting a little too far, where I'm just kind of worried now that, and it's not like it's only one-sided, but because it's her podcast, he went on Good Morning America with Blake, and then they asked him, like, oh, were you upset about not being The Bachelor? And he's like, oh, you know, I was a little, you know, upset at the time, thought it would have been a good opportunity, but now I'm, like, thrilled that I wasn't The Bachelor because I've met someone so special, and that's Caitlin Bristow, so I'm glad.
Like, that's just a lot. Like, that's just, it's, you're just divulging a little too much information, and I'm not really sure what the game plan is for either of them.
Right. And then they were on each other's stories. I guess she surprised him in Seattle. And then I don't know if he was back in Nashville for her podcast. So it is, you know, hard and fast right now. But yeah, it did seem like no judgment, but yeah, it just seemed like a lot. And, but I guess part of her brand is being very open. But then she was so private, of course, went about the breakup and took a while and gave that the space, but now it's like full force, moved on. And it's like, okay, something to watch, I guess. But yeah, it feels very like Ashley, I, and Jared, but that was like actually a long story that had a long history. So,
and they kept it private for like a couple of months
at least.
They went from dating to engaged pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. They were dating for a couple months at least before anyone knew.
Right, right. Yeah, that's a good point. So, yeah, I think that would be maybe my personal preference, but. Anyway, and then speaking of the keeping things more private, Ben Higgins announced on his podcast with Ashley I that he's dating again, seeing somebody serious, and it's long distance, and then kind of said that he'd be like revealing it a little more later on. But it seems like the internet was impatient and tried to sleuth out who it is. Can you tell me more about that?
So E! News has a scoop. It's a woman named Jessica Clark. She lives in Nashville, as does everyone in the Bachelor world. I read somewhere, I don't know how true this is, that she's friends with country musician Thomas Rhett's wife or something like that.
Okay.
So I could see that kind of being a connection. But,
did he perform on The Bachelor?
You know what? I have no recollection. She is a very pretty brunette. I found her Instagram because that's who I am as a person. Yeah, so we wish them all the best. I wish Ben wouldn't like draw out this relationship stuff. It's a little weird. Again, disingenuous. Am I using disingenuous right? Or is it disingenuous?
Disingenuous, right? Yeah.
Disingenuous?
Yeah.
Sorry,
I've heard
everyone.
It too much on reality TV.
Now I'm so confused as to what the word is.
Yes. Yeah, so you think he's kind of like trying to dry it out too much?
You know, yeah, like...
The opposite of Caitlin.
I'm just having like some weird feelings about this whole thing lately. We've just like crossed into such a world in which everything's very stylized coming from The Bachelor. Mm-hmm. Because of SponCon in a way that like just wasn't a thing when we started the podcast 5 years ago. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Everything's produced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and I had something else. Oh, gosh, I had something else on that. Oh, okay. So Matt Lagori texted me today being like, okay, did you listen to this week's episode of Almost Famous? And I didn't. I haven't been listening lately. It just got a little too much for me. So Ashley, I was away, so Kendall Long filled in.
Okay.
And she had to do an ad read, and it was the worst ad read on the face of the planet. Oh. Like, it was hilariously bad. The producer had to keep helping her.
Oh, no.
She kept, like, messing it up. Like, it was awful. And they clearly didn't edit it out when they were supposed to, but now I think if you downloaded the episode, it is the edited version, because I tried to go back and listen on the website, and that part of the episode was completely gone. So Matt had like screen recorded on his phone so I could listen.
I want to listen.
Yeah. So if you have like a subscription to that podcast, you could probably check it out if it downloads right away. If you download it now, I don't think you would. But if it downloaded this morning when it first came out, it's about 18, 19 minutes in. It's aggressively brutal. So that was kind of funny.
That's so funny. Because I've listened to that podcast before, and they definitely miss editing stuff out. But it's usually just like, okay, let's try that again. Or, you know, let's start with Ashley saying this. And so it's just like, you know, who's behind the scenes? Like, aren't they jotting down time codes, or are they just, and you know, does no one ever like let them know? Because usually I'm not like first, you know, I don't listen until after we record our podcast. So it's not like, and I don't,
we're
think
never like first out of the gate. For
yeah.
That.
So there's no one like chiming in being like, hey, you might want to edit this out. Nobody really cares, I guess. Or they get the laughs out of it like that. But do you remember what the ad was for?
Quip.
Oh no.
Yeah, it was really, really bad.
Oh no. Yes. I saw some story, but it was one of those fluff stories about her and Joe. Just like, oh, yeah, I think we're just moving in together. We're not ready to talk about engagement, but we talk about engagement all the time anyway, because we're in the bachelor world. So not sure where they stand, but I guess he's maybe moving out to L.A., which Becca is doing with Garrett. They're moving
to San Diego.
San Diego. All right. Something different.
Yeah, slightly.
Close enough to L.A. for all the opportunities.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
I just, once they moved to LA, I'm like, come on. I don't know why. I don't know. I guess I'm just feeling a little broken today. I don't know why.
It's like nothing's real.
I know. Can you believe that? Nothing is real on reality television. Who would have thunk it?
Who would have? Well, let's move into then seeing what seems real, which relationships seem like they're thriving, which ones weren't as real on this episode, episode 3 of The Bachelor. One thing I've noticed, have you noticed that they're trying to like kind of mix some things up with Chris Harrison talking to the contestants? Or I think on the, was it episode 2, we saw Colton talking directly to camera and saying,
and in
hey.
This episode, we saw him sitting down with the producer chatting. We didn't really see the producer, but like, yeah. Because Ethan had asked, like, who's Colton talking to? Right. And I was like, oh, he's talking to a producer.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like that kind of thing. I like when they break the fourth wall. I like when it feels a little more real. I like when they change up the pace of things. Like, I thought it was fun to have the pool party instead of the cocktail party. They do it every season, but, like, I enjoy it anyway. This episode, I definitely enjoyed more than the previous two episodes, but I'm still not quite there yet with this season. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, we had some things tonight that were maybe could be seen as shocking, like Caitlin on this season getting eliminated in the middle of the date, but they just didn't have that same punch. And we had that first date that seemed to kind of condense all the people who have drama onto one date. So I think the second date was just more drama free. So they had to do something like, ooh, just get rid of somebody because there wasn't any other kind of issue going on. But I agree. There's not, I'm not finding anything super compelling yet. And I think, again, it's because we weren't that into Colton being the lead and then the crop of contestants. They are
and the
very
first
young.
Episode was just so bad.
Yeah. They really beat us down with this
and it's
live
just
viewing parties.
Well, the first episode was just set up in a way where we couldn't really get to know any of these women. So it makes it hard for us to care about them in later episodes.
Yeah. And I mean, we even lost some that you might think would stay around.
We felt like we focused on in the first episode and they're gone somehow.
Exactly.
Like they're just not here. I'm like, what? Like it makes no sense. Catherine and Bree. I know we didn't see the resolution of her Australian accent story. And I guess we should have understood that that meant not great things for her. But we still saw her. She was like a viral sensation. And I don't know. It's odd so far. That's what it is.
Yeah, definitely. The first date, this was a weird one as well. I don't think we've seen something quite like this. But they were, where was this even? It was like a pirate show?
Yeah. So Albert Vargas commented on our Facebook thread saying like, hey, like this, this is about an hour away from me or something like that, or I've been here before. And Albert, I'm sorry if you don't want me to reveal your location, but I think you're fine with it. He's like an hour or so outside of LA. I think he's fairly reasonably close to Disney. Okay. So it's probably in the Anaheim general area somewhere. Albert, I'm so sorry if you hate me for this.
Like
please
a spillover for people looking for Disney. They're like, hey, maybe you like Pirates of Caribbean. Here's a knockoff thing where you can act out. Yeah. Just kind of a way for them to, I don't know, show Colton being a hero and then have the women act out fighting pirates. I don't know what was going on.
I didn't really get it. It wasn't romantic. It wasn't cute. There was no fun celebrity to make it fun. Am I correct? Like no one showed up, right?
Yeah, we could have used Billy Eichner here, I think.
Yeah.
That would have been more fun. But it was just, I guess, to get Hannah B upset at seeing Kaylin have a moment with him, saving him from the pirates, and just really all staged, even more so because they're actually on a stage. So we had a couple duos here that have some beef, Kaylin and Hannah B, and then Tracy and Demi. And I think most of the action happened in that kind of cocktail party afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Which kind of pair were you more invested in?
I was ready to see Hannah and Kaylin, mm-hmm. because I feel like we've been getting that build up, mm-hmm. for a couple episodes. So I was like, all right, I'm ready to dig into what this was. Tracy and Demi, like, I'm over it already because they're trying to get me to hate Demi, and they're not doing a good job. I'm on Demi's side here.
Okay.
Yes, like I said before, some of her comments about, like, oh, like, she's an old woman, like, she has no chance here. Again, that's a little annoying, but I feel like for the most part, she's not in the wrong in any of this. I feel like Tracy's acting like an entitled little child. Like, I feel like Tracy is more immature than Demi is.
Yeah, there was an odd moment where Demi was talking about, oh yeah, like, want to find out what his type is, and then that somehow Trace just decides that's a moment to swoop in. Oh, you mentioned type. Well, in my 20s, I thought about, you know, I had one type, but now I know I don't have one type. And it was like, okay, she just used a common phrase that people talk about when someone's dating. I don't think it's like something to attack her for. So,
like, if Demi got married at 24, she wouldn't be the first person in the world to get married at 24. Right. Like, I'm sorry, Tracy, like, what you're saying holds no water here.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, her comments kind of about, oh, if I was older like you, you know, I'd probably be, you know, insecure or something. I can't remember what she said to her face versus what she said to the cameras, though. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, this is her second week of Tracy really just kind of getting under her skin. So I think she was fighting back a little bit more. But it does seem, though, that other people are still seeing Demi, like, hating on Demi. So what is it that you think isn't quite working, that they're not getting you to think of her as the villain, typical villain?
I can't remember if it was in last night's episode or if it was on the next time on, but I feel like it was in the next time on, but one of the girls was like, I just don't think you understand how you come off. She's like, well, then tell me how I'm coming off, because I don't get it. I don't know what you're talking about.
That might have been this one. Like, Courtney said something about her tone, like, your tone when interrupting me.
Yeah.
And she was like,
it's
what?
Just like, it's one of those situations where you're annoyed with somebody, so everything they do just annoys you more. Whereas just, like, looking at it from the outside, it just doesn't seem like what Demi's doing is that egregious. Like, I'm just not getting it. And obviously, I'm not there, so I'm not really seeing, like, if there is a tone or an attitude or whatever. And if there is, then who cares? Like, focus on you and not her. It's just one of those things where it's just like, this show is about you and the lead. Like, just focus on that. Try not to get caught up with the other girls, because you're gonna get cut because of that. Mm-hmm. And we saw, like, a huge part of the episode was Hannah getting caught up with this drama with Kaylin, and it looks super bad on her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's switch to that one. This felt a lot like Who Said What, because they basically said the exact same thing about each other, and Colton was just kind of chasing, you know, first was it Hannah brought it up first, mm-hmm. and then at the pool party later on, then it was Kaylin kind of responding to it. Kaylin kind of had a rebuttal. It was like he'd go back and forth, like, right away. Oh, well, she said you're manipulative. She said you're fake, or whatever they said. And but it seemed like he was more invested in Kaylin that whole time. What was your take?
I absolutely agree with you. I think I think it was a turnoff for him, for Hannah to come and tell him that Kaylin was not a good person. It's just, again, it's like, why does it matter to you? Like, I just, And it was really annoying to me that Hannah spent most of the episode being upset that, like, Kaylin would respond to what was said about her. Like, you're not going to stick up for yourself. And then she got upset, like, oh, like, Kaylin's ruining my relationship with Colton. Now, like, Colton. It's like, girl, no, you were the one who started this. I feel like Kaylin wouldn't have said anything. She would have just been like, yeah, we know each other. We're not friends.
Right.
And just been like, that's it. That's just it.
Yeah, because she even said, like, oh, I knew there'd be some issue. I didn't think it would be, like, to this degree. And then Hannah also said that classic line, well, you know, if you're attracted to her, then, like, I'm not right for you. Then you can't also like me. And, yeah, it's kind of putting herself in the losing position right away, because it's just creating that, you know, that's not kind of how things work. So just sort of wait and see or ask questions. It's better than to just kind of go all in on dissing somebody else, and it reflects poorly on you. And then she got caught up in that and got more insecure about that. They already had that date that was pretty awkward. So I think she's coming in a losing battle. and then Kaylin got really emotional when he brought it up and said, like, that she's been through a lot of things that she's not ready to talk about, which I think is kind of code for, like, hey, when I get a one-on-one, I'm not going to bring it up here, or I don't know you that well yet. We're still like early. And then she ends up getting the group date rose. So further setting up Hannah B's insecurities. And I don't know. Do you think Colton is really just keeping Hannah B around at this point because he wants to find more information out, because they have this?
No, he's keeping her because he's been told he has to.
Yeah.
It's very rare that whoever gets the rose last, like, you're not a front runner. I'm sorry. You're getting the rose for drama. It's the drama rose.
Yep. Yep. We even saw Hannah, like, why would he do that? Why would he give it to me last? It definitely causes extra scrutiny, and they should kind of know at this point. And let's see, any other people on this date that stood out to you? We had Katie, we had Heather, Courtney.
I love Colton and Katie. They're really so cute. Much fun. Katie just brings out a really different side to Colton that I'm excited to see. When he's with her, he's fun loving. He's having a good time. He's vulnerable, but not like too vulnerable. And she just seems to bring out like a really good side to Colton. And I hope she lasts a while. She's not somebody I expected to even make it this far. So I'm really excited to see where they go. Heather, I read in a Facebook group somewhere, I think it was the Bachelor Party Facebook group, that Heather and Cassie went to school together. Like, they also knew each other before this. Well,
that's weird.
Yeah. So, like, when last week we saw Heather talking to Cassie about, like, hey, like, I've never been kissed. Well, but, like, they already, she was willing to divulge that information because they kind of already had, like a pre-relationship. Okay. So that was an interesting little tidbit. I like them together. They're kind of cute. They're fun. Heather's not as bad as I was expecting, but you just never know where we're going with this.
She is in Hannah B's corner, and it seems like maybe the only one was really kind of egging her on to do those things.
I love that Heather is the one who everyone's like telling their gossip to.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember who that was in a past season, but there always is somebody.
Like, I feel like if I were ever on The Bachelor, that would be me.
Yeah. Just like, oh, go do this. Or, yeah. Then we had Kirpa, who really was pretty invisible, but as far as I know, she's still there. Mm-hmm. And Tracy, as we mentioned, I don't think we saw any interaction of her with Colton. Probably not a great sign. At least I don't remember it. I remember he and Courtney talking together. Because she's the one who got interrupted. So she's the one who called out Demi for her tone. What about Demi's little mini date with Colton with the blindfold?
She likes to get a little freaky, doesn't she?
Yeah. She had like a fake hand that was like going down to his crotch.
And, yikes.
Spanked him with something. I don't know where she was finding all this stuff. Were they at like the prop department of the pirate show? I don't know where they were eating. But yeah. And strangely, that's not what the girls are upset about. I don't think any of them witnessed it. So they're finding odd things to be upset at her about. But does she remind you at all of Corinne on Nick's season? I've seen that comparison.
I've seen the comparison, but I found Corinne to be a lot more calculated than Demi.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. Then we have a one-on-one. Were you surprised that Elise was getting this one-on-one?
I was truly flabbergasted.
I think the women were too, because I saw this with captions and it was like, oh my gosh, like, oh my goodness, like the reactions of other people in the room when she got it. Like, I don't think she was on their radar for getting it. But she caught his eye on the group date, on the storytelling group date, and had the strongest story, I think. So they get to go, love is in the air, something like that. And what I thought was funny is then he's in the car and they didn't show what they usually do, which isn't really necessary. But in terms of changing things up, they didn't show him coming and picking her up. They just were suddenly in the car. And she,
oh, yeah. Okay, good notice.
She's like, ooh, what can you tell me about this date? He's like, well, it's in the air. And she's like, yeah, I know. You told me on the date card. He's like, oh, obviously they know nothing that's on the date card. It's written by the interns.
Yeah, I love this date. I thought, well, okay, let me backtrack. I liked her on this date.
Uh-huh.
I think she really showed the other end of the spectrum. Like, her and Tracy are the quote unquote older women. Mm-hmm. But she just like has this air about her where you don't want her to just shut up immediately.
She's not insecure about it.
She's like
fights.
Chill. And like, I really liked her. I enjoyed her a lot on this date. I thought she rolled with the punches super well. She was excited to go to San Diego. She reacted to the kids super well. Mm-hmm. It was just a really great look on Elise. And I think she's might be here for a while because of it.
Yeah. And she fell towards like seventh spot on your draft, or maybe even
She's like my biggest point getter.
Yeah,
so far.
She's earning you a lot of points. So you mentioned the kids. So they had like a little surprise. They flew by helicopter to Belmont Park in San Diego, kind of like a boardwalk type, old fashioned type amusement park. And they arrive and he's like, well, I know I told you this is a one-on-one, but it's actually a group date. And, you know, that would have been actually kind of funny if they actually, you know, had a limousine service take 10 more women down there, but it was kids, I think, that were through his charity, or maybe just like kids that were part of some charity, but I think it was through his charity. And they joined them on the date, like a group of about 20 kids. So what did you think of the twist?
Not for me. I don't want to be around that many children at any point in my life. But this is clearly something that's a super big part of Colton's life. And mm-hmm. I think that's a really great aspect to showcase mm-hmm. on the show, and especially in a date like this. I think it says a lot about how a woman would react to this kind of situation. I thought Elise did super well here, and then she got to go to a private-ish concert, so she must have done something right.
Yes, she advanced to the private concert portion of the date, and the dinner in like a fancy hall right before, like probably in the lobby of where the concert was.
Did you not hear people setting up?
Yeah, I have to think how miserable it would be to be one of the people that wanted to be the extra on The Bachelor, go see this concert, but you have to just sit in silence the entire time while they're having their like 4-hour dinner, and then they open the door and then they're at this concert. Or maybe it just looked like they opened a door. Maybe they actually traveled somewhere else, but it seemed like it was just like, oh, around the bend, here you go. So I would not want to be in that audience, because I remember seeing one when it was Nick's season, and there was a listing for it in Milwaukee, and it was like, you have to arrive at like 2 p.m. and the concert's probably at like 9 p.m.
Yikes.
Yeah. Give up your entire day and wait in line. And yeah, you might get to scream at The Bachelor as he dances with someone who's not going to choose in the end. Yes. Do you think Elise has bachelorette potential? I don't see her being the one at the end, but I think she could go far. No?
Yeah, I think she could do like top six. Like, I don't really see her getting a hometown, but.
So I've heard talk about like, well, these women are so young. Are they going to pick a bachelorette that's like 23 years old? So could it be someone like Elise?
Ooh, I love that idea.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. And then speaking of Colton's charity, I don't know much about it, but I did listen to, so baby Becca Martinez has a podcast. I was like, oh, I'm just going to, I'm kind of curious.
Doesn't.
Yeah. They all have a podcast now. Not all of them are about Bachelor, but now that the Bachelor's on, then she's talking about it and she gave her thoughts on Colton and really didn't hold back on this episode that I listened to and talked about one of the reasons that she was kind of like not into him was that his apparently in his charity, so it's called Colton's Legacy, but he named that like when he has no following or no one knew who he is. And then I guess part of the charitable dollars go to flying him to different cities to give the equipment to the child. So it's like, do they really need to meet you when they don't know who you are?
Right.
So she was like, yeah, it seems a little bit like ego, you know, padding, but so that's just something of note, but I just, I like how she like really doesn't like, hold back at all. And then, although she should be giving birth any day now, I think. I don't know if she
like,
has yet.
Soon.
Like, I should probably check right now. We could break news on the podcast. let's see. So, Elise also told a very sad story about her sister.
Just awful. Just an awful story.
Yeah. So, her sister had cancer, had a tumor, and she was pregnant. And so, the child lived, but her sister passed away. So they open, speaking of charity, they have a charity, in her sister's name as well, but it was a bonding moment, for her and Colton. It seemed like, he really like understood her more after that. And it was just kind of the time for her to reveal that. Anything else about this date that stood out to you?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Fun date. And she really handled the kid part really well. They got to like pass out ice cream and I don't know. Colton did that for his, he did like a charity focused date on his hometown date with Becca as well. So I'm
not that I would know. I never watched that episode.
But yeah, I would anticipate that we might see something more like that down the road when he gets down to, you know, you'd think like when he's down to Final Four, he'd want to see how they are around kids as well. That's so important to him. And let's see. So the final date, it was kind of a repeat in a way. It was like another competition type date, although it was more individual. It was the Strongest Woman competition. And it was Terry and I want to say Rebecca Cruz were there and kind of running this, I don't like an Ironman type thing or what would you call it? Strongman competition. They had to work out and flip tires and push like giant wedding cakes around.
You know, I tweeted that like the kid date was my nightmare, but no, this was my nightmare.
Yeah. Probably second only to the, what season was it? Where was it on Ben's season where they had to work out and then they had to smell like their sweat?
That comes up in one of the questions later.
Oh, okay. Good. Deep callbacks here. So this one had Tayshia, Nina, Catherine, Sydney, Onyeka, Cassie, Nicole, and Caitlin. And we saw Onyeka win the Strongest Woman. And what did she get? Like a bite of cake and riding around on a tractor? I don't know. It's like she didn't really win. Didn't win the group date rose, which is what I don't like about these competition ones. They like there's no stakes for the winner. But it was pretty drama-free with all these women. Until he pulls Caitlin aside. So what was your take on this conversation?
It was obviously like a dumb, boring conversation, but I thought it was just going to be like, she doesn't get a rose at the end of the night. But no, what? He like stops her mid-sentence and is like, okay, girl, like, I don't feel this. You got to go.
Yeah. My heart kind of broke for her in the moment when he's like, so I've been thinking, you know, you know, as we've been talking, and she's kind of looking over it, I think she's looking at the rose, like thinking that he's going to be like giving her that. And then, you know, her face just drops. And one thing that stood out to me in the conversation was that she said, like, yeah, I know I'm feeling a little behind the other girls, and but I don't, there's nothing like sad that I feel like are really personal in my life that I want to hard in my life that I want to tell you about. And I think she was feeling that pressure of like the other women telling some kind of deep story. And I think she just legitimately couldn't think of anything. And why does it have to be something like that?
And like, I don't think it does have to be like that, but I also think they did not have chemistry.
Right, right. There was one
because
point.
If somebody asked you what you're looking for in a guy, would you say, someone just to hang out with me and my friends?
Yeah. How old is Caitlin? I kind of want to look at that. It's sort of like, yeah, you have to fit into my life. And I kind of got the sense, so she's 25. I mean, I kind of got the sense that she didn't feel like she had to really put a lot of effort in and was just treating it as like a pretty superficial conversation. And wasn't really.
She's probably been like the hottest person in her area for so long that she doesn't remember what it's like to have to try.
Right, right. And I mean, I think all the women were shocked that she was eliminated as well. She probably got along really well with them. I was probably just feeling like comfortable that she was middle of the pack and was not expecting this. At all. Like, she's probably like, yeah, I'm a lock for travel dates. Like, come on. And it's like, nope, it's cut short. Maybe she'll be back on VIP. The thing that made me laugh was he was like, oh, so what's it like with like, you know, intimate nights back home with your family? And she's like, oh, maybe intimate's the wrong word. Like, she just felt very awkward and kind of like they just didn't click. Like, he didn't, it, whatever their conversation did not. A vibe. And she, rather than answer the question, she just kind of was like joking around, and maybe he could joke around with someone else, but just felt off.
Yeah.
So, definitely. Yes. That kind of caused the everyone else to feel upset. In terms of other people on the date that stood out, I would say maybe Nicole. They seem to have a little more of a connection this time around.
She ended up getting the rose.
Yes. And let's see, Cassie had some physical chemistry that we got to see making out against a wall or a window. Anyeka, they had kind of a cute moment as well. Other than that, oh, Tayshia, did we see much of her? I she's another one that I really like, but it's just not seeing much of her. Sydney as well. We really didn't see Catherine at all.
And bad sign for Catherine.
Yeah. We would later find out. And yeah, I don't think, again, it was pretty drama free, even with it being a competition date. So I think they kind of had to throw in this Caitlin thing. I think they would have been fine to leave her towards the end. But hey, at least this way we remember Caitlin if she was one of these other women who were eliminated at the rose ceremony. But before that, instead of the cocktail party, like you said, Chris Harrison comes in, does the announcement. He does every time. I feel like we're missing that person who's like the bachelor know-it-all, who's just going to be like, guys, guys, don't worry. This happens every season. There's, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Someone, I think it was Nick Vile was that person on Andy's season, but they all were devastated that there would be no cocktail party. And of course, it's a pool party. So how do you think this pool party went? It was sort of Hannah versus Caitlin part two.
But first, we saw other Hannah have a conversation with Colton. She was a little upset this week, understandably, that she didn't get any kind of date. And usually we don't see like a front runner not get a date. We usually see like the middle of the pack people who's like, yeah, well, I'm going to keep them around anyway.
Yeah. Bree didn't get a date and then she got sent home.
Yikes.
Yeah.
So in Colton said, hey, you didn't get a date because I feel really comfortable with where we are and I just need to give, you know, the other girls a couple chances, but don't worry, you're right up there. It's funny, actually. Colton's been really throwing a band into the wind with these, like, no people, like, no date, but also you go home.
Right.
But there is a little story that came out that Annie, I believe her name was, asked to go home.
Oh, really?
And she... Yeah, so she had asked to go home, and the producer said no. And she said she wasn't into him, she didn't like him, et cetera, et cetera. She wasn't happy about the experience. And So they were like, well, would you feel better if you had a one-on-one? And she said no. So then she just didn't go on a date, and then she just went home.
Okay. Yeah, because they showed her crying and stuff when she was eliminated. Maybe she was just like fed up that she had to play along.
Yeah.
Or do you think she's like coming up with a story as like reverse, you know, like reverse engineering her story?
A little bit, because there's like a thing that came out that like she had put a Snapchat out there saying like, oh, I just dumped The Bachelor or whatever. Hmm. Like early on into filming. So I don't know.
If she dumped him, they couldn't really edit around that. Like if she stormed out.
Yeah. You know?
So interesting. Maybe she thought that they'd air some other kind of interview or something. Maybe she talked to Colton and was like, hey, like, let me go with this rose ceremony.
Yeah.
And I just thought it would be on aired and it wasn't. Interesting. So yeah, Hannah G got that conversation, like, hey, I'm keeping you around. But then Bree also didn't get on any date. What do you think their conversation went like?
I don't know. Like, I just don't get it. I'm so confused.
Yeah, because she was probably feeling like, hey, like maybe she talked to Hannah and heard what he said to her and was like, oh, good, you know, he's confident in us. But no, this is 2 weeks in a row.
We're gonna see her on VIP.
Oh yeah, she's a lock for VIP, and maybe like someone from Bachelor Australia will come back.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah. Yes. But yeah, Kaylin and Hannah, part two. This is where he goes back to Hannah. And this is where we saw that segment, right? That you said you saw or mentioned before about the producer, mm-hmm. where he's just like, I'm kind of done with this. I don't really know where to go with this. And yeah, I don't really blame him. Like, it's just kind of a lot. He doesn't have any real answers. And again, I'm kind of leaning towards Kaylin being more accurate, representing it better, maybe because she is the one who's being kind of above it. But there's still no real proof of, you know, it's just kind of a she said situation. Mm-hmm. Where do you think this is going to lead next week?
I don't know where it's going to go next week. I think it's just going to be like more build up and we're going to get tired of it at a certain point, and then it's all going to kind of like come to a head.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. So we come to the rose ceremony, and as mentioned, Hannah B is the last one chosen. Has a little drama there. Makes her very upset. We've already said goodbye to Kaitlyn, and we say goodbye to three blondes, Bree, Nina, and Catherine. It's like Catherine came out strong, but was not the villain that I guess they needed for the season.
I was shocked that Catherine and Bree both went home this episode.
Yeah, I was too. Nina was pretty invisible, but yeah, compared to like Kirpa or Tracy, you could have lost some of them. Did Bree or Catherine need to like start up a more visible feud with anyone?
I don't know. I feel like Catherine was such a lock early on that mm-hmm. she just fell apart. It's kind of like last season where we thought like Chelsea was going to be the villain, and then she wasn't.
Right. Yeah, maybe she just like got tame after that. She was like, oh, you know, I'm going to make a splash on night one. I need to stick around. And then it was over. But he's like, oh, you know, say hello to your dog or whatever. So yeah, it reminded me that her dog was still there. And she was very calm leaving as well.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Is she a lock as well for VIP?
Yes.
Yeah. Hopefully she gets to bring her little dog with. Anyway, let's check in our draft. It is getting a little closer. So everyone is catching up to me. But Elise got you a ton of points. You are in second place with 61 with her the only one-on-one this episode. I am at 66. I lost Bree. And then bringing up the rear is Kirsten with 55. So not too shabby, you know, just a 11-point spread here.
I feel like 66 is like the amount of points both you and I had combined last season.
Probably. I think you're right. Yes. So follow at GeorgeCTV for the full details. We all have our top pick. Actually, Kaitlyn was your number two pick. Your Toronto girl. She was eliminated. The shocking elimination. But Kirsten has Kaylin. You have Cassie as your number one pick, and I had Hannah B as my number one pick. So, not feeling so strong about her anymore. But you know,
you have Hannah G, which I feel good about.
Yeah, Hannah G. Yeah, she was my number five, and she's like should have been a higher up. And I have Demi, so I think Demi's around for a while. She's at least till Singapore, so I know she makes travel dates based on the preview.
Is that next week?
Okay, I think so. What's going on with that? That's really early, isn't it?
I have no idea.
Are they just skipping like the lame cities in the U.S. to go to?
I guess so. I guess Singapore was offering them a lot of money.
Interesting. Yeah, or it was part of Colton's like negotiations. Like, I don't want to go to Richmond, Virginia. I want to just...
Maybe.
Very interesting. So yeah, maybe I shouldn't feel so good about that. It's like, oh, week four is travel dates.
Yeah, like we thought Singapore was going to be like the fantasy suite.
Right. The way she's talking about it. I think she creates her own fantasy suite.
Fantasy closet?
Yeah. Yeah. She takes it on the road. Well, Haley, I wanted to talk to you about New Year's resolutions. I know you did a blog about New Year's resolutions.
I did. And, you know, one of them was to take care of myself a little better. I'm not always the best eater and I'm not always the best exerciser, but I really think 2019 is finally going to be my year to do those things.
Nice. Yeah. I always like to have some kind of health goal, focus more on like something positive rather than like, oh, no more sugar or something unrealistic yeah. like that. Like what can you do as a positive step to improve your health? And interesting that you said like take care of yourself, because care of, so it's care/of is a monthly subscription vitamin service that delivers completely personalized vitamin and supplement packs right to your door. It's something that I've been doing and it's kind of something that I want to refresh in the new year. Care of makes it so easy to make health and wellness really a priority with their monthly subscription vitamin service. I feel like vitamins, so easy to forget about. You buy a bottle and then you're head off to work and you're like, oh, I didn't take my vitamins today. Or, you know, you're trying to stay consistent with it. They're in these really convenient little packs. You get vitamins and supplements that are customized to you. So do something good for your health in 2019. Care of makes it really easy to stick to your resolutions.
And you can take a really easy online quiz. It's fun. It asks you about your diet, your health goals, and your lifestyle choices. And it takes only 5 minutes to figure out your personal scientifically backed vitamin and supplement recommendations. Because 90% of people fall short of the FDA recommended guidelines for at least one vitamin or nutrient, and find out where you're lacking with Care of's online quiz and get back on track to reaching your health goals. Because like you say, Amy, you can go to the store and buy a big old thing of vitamins, but you don't really know if that's what is right for you. And this online quiz really helps tailor to what it is that you need and what you're lacking in your diet.
Yeah, it takes kind of that overwhelm away and it makes it really personalized. And what's really cool is, you know, you might just be focused on general health, but it could be, do you want to boost your energy levels? Do you want glowing skin, getting more sleep? So the quiz will really tailor and help you find out what you need. Like, for example, for me, I'm a vegetarian, so I want to make sure I know, okay, with the foods that I'm not eating, what might I be missing? So it's that the B12 or the fish oil type thing. I don't take fish oil. So how do I get those omega healthy fats, the omega-3s? So that's part of my pack, but it might be different for somebody else. And I just love how easy it is to decide what to find out what you specifically need. And so my pack has five little vitamins and supplements in there. I like throwing a few packs in my bag to leave at work. So if I forget to do it in the morning, they're right there. It doesn't take up any space in my bag or in my desk drawer. So it's just so convenient. And there's also the feel good factor, the Care of difference, that a portion of every sale goes to the Good Plus Foundation, which provides expectant mothers in need with valuable prenatal vitamins. And as mentioned, if you're vegan as well, they have supplements available to match your dietary needs. And you can get supplements that don't have gelatin in them, which some people, you might not think about, but it's in a lot of vitamins that you might not otherwise know. And there's even a Care of app where you can earn rewards and when you remember to take your vitamins. And that's something I used to always forget to do, but with Care of, I just never forget because of these convenient packs. So we've got a great offer here. Take advantage of this month's special New Year's offer for 50% off your first month of personal Care of vitamins. Go to Take Care Of and enter Batch 50. So that's BACH 50. 50% off your first month. Personalized Care Of vitamins. Go to takecareof.com and enter Batch 50. All right, Haley, we have questions to get into.
We do. I could use one of those energy boosting vitamins to get all, through all these great questions.
I know. I'm surprised after this episode that we have so many. Maybe it just left people wanting more or like something was missing. But we have our first question from the lovely Kirsten McInnes, our co-conspirator in the draft. Just says, what is happening?
Well, just listen to this podcast, find out. Yeah, Kirsten, I wonder, did you ever finish last week's episode? If you didn't, it's fine. But one thing we did not mention, Amy, is this week was the premiere of Celebrity Big Brother, which just completely coincided with The Bachelor. So a lot of our usual Bachelor friends were watching Celebrity Big Brother.
It has shifted. I didn't notice that in the first hour. Twitter was pretty quiet. I mean, I was
pretty quiet.
As well.
It was like me, you, and Mel got served.
Yeah, exactly. So she was maybe just like chiming in like, hey, what's going on for this first hour? Because I'm not watching. Well, yeah, hopefully she listened up to this point and we gave a recap. Chase Brown, should we be happy that all of their virginity talk was replaced by an hour-long middle school girl argument? I'm conflicted.
You know what? I'm going to be happy about it this week. We'll see by week six if they're both still there and if I feel the same way.
It's because the virginity talk moved to Celebrity Big Brother with Lolo Jones, so she took it over for that night.
We'll see. I haven't watched the episode yet.
At least in her intro package.
That's a big talking point for her. Yes. And it has been for a long time.
Yes. And then Chase also asked, should a first date ever include hanging out with children that neither party knows? Is this even legal?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know the rules of California.
Yeah. Oh, well, we didn't talk about the end segment. Did you see that? Where it
was
like,
it was really funny.
A takeoff on like the interrupting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I steal them? Can I interrupt? It was almost like they did like the SNL skit version. Yeah. Just like replayed it, which I'm really surprised there hasn't been an SNL skit yet. But I think when they get a host that can play Colton, they're definitely gonna do like Virgin Hunk.
Yeah. Oh my god, that is so funny.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. Let's see. Garrett Mott, why did Caitlin have to be sent home on the group date? Yeah, why?
Just for some intrigue to kind of spice things up a bit.
Yeah. Just to shake up the other women, because Caitlin wasn't going to go further than a couple more weeks. Garrett also wants to know, did you notice Heather was always Hannah B's sounding board for advice on talking to Colton about Caitlin?
Yeah, I think maybe no one sees Heather as a threat, so they're willing to tell her all of their secrets.
Like, oh, your job has never been kissed? Okay, just be my buddy.
Yeah.
He's not going to pick you. Like, yeah, I think they're, not seeing her as a threat. I also noticed that for the group date, when they're waiting to see who's on the date, Hannah was getting so nervous that Caitlin would be on the date. Of course she was. She turns to Heather and is like, oh, I'm so glad you're with me. So it might be Heather or Hannah's only friend in the house, because when Caitlin was sort of speaking about it, she had at least three other women around her. So there could be little factions starting in the house, which we don't like to see. We like when they all get along, but not the case this time. Stephen Schultz, can they put pageant queens who have competed against each other for years and don't like each other on every season? All right, an opposing viewpoint here.
Well, Stephen, we're probably going to get it.
Yeah, they stumbled onto something here that I think they are going to stick to. Oh.
Yeah, it's the Waboom method.
Waboom and Blake. I just thought, I don't know why this didn't occur to me, but they're both a lock for VIP if they aren't picked, right? they have to show up like waiting for the other one to come down the stairs.
Hannah's more likely to go on than Kaylin.
Yeah, but if Hannah's on and Kaylin is not bachelorette or final chosen, you know, I think it's. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then Matt Lefton. Did anyone think that Catherine was going to last more than three episodes?
Absolutely, I did. But we didn't really see her last episode.
She just turned invisible. It's sad. I thought maybe she would have lasted only three episodes if, you know, she was bringing it, you know, like each time. But yeah, I didn't expect her to fade out in this way. Will Holston, what does it say about this season that our bachelor was asking for love advice from a seven-year-old and she has more relationship experience than him?
Not great, Captain. Not great.
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me. What did you think of the moment where they kissed at the top of the roller coaster? Colton and Elise had like the roller coaster stop at the top. I thought that was a new thing that they've done on a one-on-one date.
Yeah, and I like that she's like, if this starts going while we're kissing, I'm so mad at you.
Yeah, that would have been bad. Yeah, but otherwise cute. Will Holston also says, please hypothesize what Catherine and Bree's VIP intros will be. Yep, calling it here. Will be when they inevitably pop up on, say, episode 6. Will Catherine bring her dog? Will Bree be wearing an Australian flag bikini and holding a stuffed koala? Or will she be in a kangaroo costume hopping down the beach? Oh, we're going with a sloth, so I don't think we'll have a kangaroo costume. You think so?
Oh, that's true. I will hope there is a kangaroo costume, though. I like it. I feel like there might be some issue of Catherine bringing her dog to Mexico. I don't know. Mm. Again, not too sure of the laws there.
Right.
But I could see her having, like, a stuffed dog.
There's usually... Yeah, we know that they love those giant stuffed dogs from last season. There's usually, like, dogs that randomly show up on dates.
Oh, true. Like, she might be getting, like, chased with a pack of dogs or chasing a pack of dogs or something.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, so in her intro... Because what else can we really show about her? Because we just suddenly don't know much about her. Bree, I can see, like, something, like, with a koala... maybe a can of Vegemite, because you can't show an accent in your intro, but yeah. Will Holston, again, why is the season with a virgin bachelor the season the show chose to introduce light BDSM?
Why does this show do anything? Why?
Yeah.
We've been asking ourselves that for literally half a decade at this point.
Yeah. I think, you know, they need someone like Demi to, you know, spice things up. And I'm sure she was very encouraged to do something like that. Eliz Bank, named three reasons why any of these ladies would want to date Colton other than he probably doesn't have an STD. All right, we got to come up with three here.
He seems reasonably nice.
It's nice. He gives compliments pretty well. Usually has something good to say about each of the women. He usually is bobbing his head back and forth when he gives them, but, you know.
He probably won't cheat on you.
Yeah. He would, and he has the charity where he helps kids. That's
and he's clearly dedicated.
Yeah. And they seem to like him with a shirt off, doing that ropes thing. Like, they're setting up all these things, like, for them to just, like, ogle at him when they arrive at these dates. Mm-hmm. Always with the shirt off. Ryan Hilliard, is it safe to presume that there will be an upcoming two-on-one with Colton and the pageant girls?
Absolutely. Lock it in.
This is how we're going to lose Hannah.
Yeah.
Because when you put them together, you know, because right now they've kind of avoided each other, just looked at each other from across the room. But when they're on the two-on-one, I think it'll be evident, you know, who kind of cracks under the pressure, who's telling the truth. All right, Justin Feinberg, which would be preferable to Colton? Spending more time dealing with the drama between Kaylin and Hannah, B, or Tia showing up in Singapore requesting a third, fourth shot at a relationship?
I think Tia's in a happy relationship at this point.
We hope so, but yes, I think as Instagram would suggest, she is. I know she did tweet that she would not be coming on, but you never know. With this show, you never know. Okay, Justin Feinberg also asked, what was the more undesirable group date, Colton's workout group date or Ben Higgins' pheromone group date, where the women got all sweaty and Ben sniffed them?
Definitely that one.
Yeah, that is.
I'd flip a tire every day and not get smelled, please. Thank you.
And then Paul Borges, wait, he dumped Caitlin? Has he seen Caitlin? This guy is an idiot.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, very funny. Well, that is it for questions. Do you have your takes from Doug?
Of course I do. He yes. is very good. I'm going to have to like get him to email them to you or something. Or I don't know. We're going to have to figure that out.
Because he doesn't anyway, tweet, right?
Not really.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll figure it out. He says, this episode was next level boring. As per usual, the evacuate Tracy's uterus commercial was by far the most dramatic part of the evening. I don't know if you're seeing that My Doll commercial or if it's just here, but
oh my gosh.
It's fun.
I don't think so.
After following several people from this season on Instagram, Tracy began following me and then unfollowed me. Is her shameless attempt to become an influencer more childish than anything Demi has done? Spoiler, it is. Doug, what are you doing following all these people on Instagram? Do what I do. Make a burner account. And then follow everyone from there. Because then they're not going to clutter up your feed.
Yes. Because on Instagram, you can't do like lists like you can do on Twitter, right?
Where you're exactly. Like,
yeah.
And I don't want to give some of these people the satisfaction of following them, even though like I basically am. Whatever, I don't care.
Make your bachelor Finsta. And that's how you do it.
It is. And because so many people have like thousands of followers, but for some reason have their profile in private, which drives me crazy.
Really?
So you gotta follow them.
Interesting. So they accept everyone.
But
it's just private. Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
You rather try it? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, it seems weird. Like if you want to be an influencer, I don't think you can have it on private.
I know. Right? Maybe they work into their contract.
Maybe.
Some of these people are on private, but I don't know.
Interesting.
Would you rather try and have a rational conversation with someone who describes himself as a tank of rage or watch one more second of Colton's horrifically bad pirate acting?
Yeah.
Pirate acting, I think.
Yeah.
When Hannah said she didn't come here to compete in another pageant, she knew she was literally on a show that's literally a pageant, right? Roll Tide.
Yeah. It's just like half the contestants as Miss USA, right?
Yeah.
Starting out.
What the actual F are Kaylin and Hannah fighting about? It doesn't seem like either of them did anything.
Hey, so far there's nothing really specific, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Manipulation, but about what? We don't know. Deceitful, but what? So hopefully there's some resolution, but we need like a third party to come in.
No, we can't get that satisfaction, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Is Tennille Arts a person or just the name of the building?
Yeah. It does sound like, you know, like a liberal arts program or something.
Yeah, it does.
Never Captain heard of that
Tennille.
One. Yeah.
What's more romantic? Caitlin telling Colton he will just be the guy who carries her purse on nights out, or Katie coming to the terrifying realization that the only thing she has in common with Colton is they apparently both like food. Honestly, that's my number one. You'd be surprised.
That's why you zoned in on her.
I don't like eating.
It's true. They don't eat on the dates. So at least, yeah. I guess she mentioned that on Ellen as well. So they brought that up. It's kind of weird when they refer to things like that, because I don't think the show referenced this before. So if you didn't see Ellen, wouldn't you be like, what are they talking about?
Yeah, I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But I didn't do my job correctly and look that up.
Yes. Will Ellen show up at some point in the season?
Ooh, good question.
Or was that know. That was her contribution this time? She didn't really care about Colton, probably, and was like,
probably not. She's like, I just want to hang out with women because the guy seems like he sucks.
Yeah.
And finally, Haley, you are presented with a life or death scenario. You must complete one of the following activities to live. A, you compete in a fitness-related challenge in front of a bunch of middle-aged housewives while fully aware your shortcomings will be broadcast on national TV. B, you must perform in a pirate show where Ethan calls people knuckleheads, you rescue him, and the two of you kiss in public. Or C, you legally change your name to Tennille Arts. Marry a mediocre football player has no discernible way of earning any revenue and end every fifth sentence for the rest of your life with the phrase Roll Tide. First of all, I refuse to kiss in public. So B's out. C, I really just want to be a kept woman. So that's out for C. So I guess I'm going to have to compete in a fitness related challenge.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Did you ever see the show? I don't know if it aired there. It was called Most Extreme Elimination Challenge. And it was just like,
it's not ringing a bell.
It's, oh God, what was the show called? Splat or the
Wipeout?
Yeah, Wipeout. It was like Wipeout. But then it was like dubbed over. Wasn't Splat the diving one, or was that Splash?
I don't know.
Anyways, I feel like I would just fail miserably, and then there would just be like some voiceovers dubbing, like, oh, she sucks at everything.
Well, it could become like a meme and go viral.
Yeah, that'd probably happen.
Yeah, that's the least offensive of those choices, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
But I love how he just picks up like random things, like how he called them knuckleheads, like just these little things that I forget about. Yes.
That's good.
At first when he said mediocre football player, I thought he was gonna make you marry Clay. But as far as we
he's so mad he didn't think about that.
As far as we know, he's still dating Angela.
Yes.
All right. Well, that is all we have. Haley, where can people find you?
You can find me on my blog, strongtakes.ca. I've been doing the Top Chef podcast this season. Actually, we're going to have a fun guest next week. That reminds me.
Interesting.
Stay tuned for that.
Stay tuned, and everyone.
Did you say stay tuna?
I should have. That's what we should use when we're talking about chefs. Stay tuned, everyone.
Stay tuned, everyone. Yes. And you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter at @RHAPRecapper. And we will talk to you all next week. Bye.
Bye.